Hey, Being at Work listeners, welcome back to another guest episode. This is your host, Andrea Butcher, and I love this podcast. I'm so grateful for this forum. We start all of these conversations before we hit record, sharing our intentions. I share my intention, the guest shares theirs, and our intentions today are connection and gratitude. Connection and learning more from Celestial's story, and gratitude for the people in her life who taught her the important lessons she's going to talk about today. So we all know the power of curiosity as a leadership skill, seeking to understand. It's foundational to our relationships. But today's guest talks about it as relentless curiosity, not letting her experience get in the way of going deeper and asking questions. Celestial Stevens is the Director of Human Resources at Do It Best Corp. But what you really need to know about Celestial is how she not only credits a key leader in her life that you'll hear about the impact of his curiosity has had on her, but also her learning from her 10-year-old son, Tony. Listen in as we talk about the impact of curiosity, the things that get in the way, those blockers, and how we can keep curiosity top of mind. I learned a new strategy called question storming that I can't wait to try. So check it out.
So I would say that my path is a very unusual one. At UNLV, I initially started studying hospitality management. And then Do It Best came to town in dusty Mesquite, Nevada. Beautiful place. So glad I'm from around that area. And I was so connected immediately with Do It Best's mission and purpose that I turned down an offer from a bank, a competing offer. Yes, it is true that the warehouse I worked in was not air conditioned, and the bank was. But really, that was my first foray into learning about why it's so important to be curious. And in this case, it was really about culture and the role that workplace culture would play in my career. And I felt so strongly connected to being a part of a servant-led culture that I made a decision that at the time felt a little kind of contrary to what people would think that I would choose at that time in my life. And I'm so grateful that I did. And then throughout my journey, I've had lots of wonderful leaders, mentors, people I've worked alongside that have helped me be really open to non-traditional career path. So I started in logistics, absolutely loved that side of our business. I will always have a passion for operations and being really effective and excellent in how we deliver value as a business. But I also have this passion for people that was very obvious to the leaders that were entrusted with my career development. And I'm very thankful that they encouraged me to consider leaving the logistics home that I loved to join the HR team. And now fast forward years later, I'm called on to be the Director of Human Resources, which is really exciting and something that nobody might have imagined when I started my career path here at Do It Best.
Well, and no doubt that operations background serves you well with your people focus. The combination of those no doubt sets you up to lead and to navigate challenges because you've got that background.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it sure gives some credibility to serving in human resources. You're talking about service arms of an organization and then the quote unquote business, I think it's really important that HR leaders have business acumen and understand and walk in the shoes of the leaders that they're called to serve.
Oh, absolutely. There's a connection then and a relatability. And without that, it's kind of hard to have that. And you talked about the servant-led culture. You talked about being really connected to the mission when you first learned about the organization. So for our listeners who don't know, tell us about Do It Best and what is your mission? What was it about it that so resonated with you?
Yeah, so Do It Best is a co-op, which almost every undergraduate program will tell you that's an unusual business model. So we're not really going to cover that. but it's a co-op, which means that our members own our business and are our sole customers. And so it lends itself to servants. And basically, what it means is that we're Indiana's largest privately held company, that we have about 3,800 locations of independent member-owned stores where those independents are able to compete in the home improvement industry because of the services that we provide them and the support that we give them. So it is very focused on making sure that our members can grow and achieve their dreams. And as a once little girl who used to visit the local hardware store with my dad, I loved the idea of being able to support them in being independently owned businesses.
That's so cool. Yeah, I can see how your servant heart, no doubt, would connect with that mission. And again, back to the ops and the people connection. I mean, it all supports you in the role that you're playing so well.
Absolutely. I'm very blessed.
Yeah, what a great place. Well, it's a good setup for the conversation that we're going to have today about curiosity, because you know, you are in a role that you are so passionate about, you're good at. I mean, you have this strong operational background that's leading you. And so when I asked you to tell me about a pivotal moment, you know, you said that it's interesting is how you described your pivotal moments. And you said, really, I mean, you've learned the value of curiosity in multiple ways. And so tell us about that. How did that become such an important part of your leadership philosophy?
Yeah, so you alluded to this earlier, and I think it's super important to note that we can learn from all different types of people in our lives. So for people who are more senior than we are, that have had more lived experience, as well as people who are just entering the workforce and have a fresh take, all the way to our children. And we can look inside our homes to find sources of knowledge, to stay curious. And really, it was quite funny when we were chatting, I realized that two of my pivotal moments are from our VP of Logistics, Tim Miller, and also my beautiful 10-year-old son, Tony Stevens. And I thought, how funny is it that I'm going to be talking with you about relentless curiosity, and that comes from a seasoned leader that I look up to and strive to be more like, as well as being led from my beautiful son. And so a couple of things I wanted to share was just a pivotal conversation I had with Tim. And as I was called on to restructure the HR team in about 2021 and rebuild a team here at Do It Best, he talked with me about how he focuses on curiosity during the hiring process. And he not only focuses on that then, but he is relentless about being curious. And so even though he knows the business inside and out, he just has an immense thirst for wanting to know more. And that plays out in everything that he does, in every business meeting I hold with him, in every KPI or key performance indicator he looks at, in every new initiative that he tackles alongside his team. He asks a ton of questions and doesn't just lean on experience to lead the way. He wants to know how we can improve or how we can do things differently. And that was an aha moment for me, because I suddenly realized that experience can sometimes be a barrier, and we'll talk more about this later, but to curiosity, we start feeling like we've known it all, or we've been there before, or when a member of our team has some new idea, we almost want to complete their sentences for them or tell them why, quote unquote, that won't work here. And that can be so damaging to innovation or to growth in general. And I feel like Tim really models that for me. And it was super helpful to me as I was selecting people to join a rebuilt HR team, to just really pick those people who are going to be lifelong learners, who always wanted to know more about our business, about HR, about the people that they were called to serve. And you can imagine during the pandemic, when we were trying to recruit hundreds of warehouse folks at a time that was very challenging, that curiosity paid off in spades. They weren't frustrated by any challenges that came their way. They were able to band together and to come up with super creative solutions because they were curious. They didn't just say, man, this is kind of an unfair state we find ourselves in during a global pandemic. And so I loved seeing that play out in real time.
I can imagine. I mean, curiosity, as you noted, curiosity frees us up. it creates a space to imagine the possibilities. And I suspect that Tim is a well-respected leader because of that. You talked about how it also breeds innovation and creativity. Like, what's the impact for you personally of Tim modeling curiosity? What does that do for you?
Well, I think what it does for me is it is a source of energy and inspiration for me. And I think as servant leaders, we all have to connect with those pieces of who we are to show up as an inspired leader for our teams. I think they deserve that. I think we all deserve the leaders that we wish we had. And in order to continue to improve leadership effectiveness, I think for me, learning from Tim and continuing to learn from him reminds me we're never going to rest on our laurels and think we know everything that we need to know. There's always an opportunity for us to be curious, to ask questions, to challenge assumptions. And for me personally, that is fuel in my internal engine. It makes me excited. You know, not every day is going to be exactly alike. I'm not relegated to just a routine. I can push past the boundaries of what's happening today and challenge those assumptions and learn more and continue to grow. And so for me, it's kind of a good armor, if you will, against the monotony that could happen in any career if we let it creep in.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, I very much relate to what you said. It was the freeing up that I was describing. I feel like curiosity naturally gives me more headspace to go in a different direction, to imagine what could be. There is an energy to it, as you described. So Tim is an important model for you. You know, I'm curious, do you think he knows that as a strength? Have you talked with him about that? When he listens to this, will he be surprised?
He will not. I did let the cat out of the bag with him and did tell him that as we were discussing, preparing for today, pivotal moments in our career, I didn't want to miss the opportunity to send him a letter of gratitude sharing what his leadership has meant to me. And often, as is often the case, rather, he shared back with me that he needed that note on that day. And it was a great reminder to me, just you need to make sure that you make time and space to thank those leaders with intention or those people in your life that truly make a difference, because they might not even realize that impact that they're having or that what they said was a pivotal moment in your career or your life in general. And so taking those opportunities to thank people who are willing to share their wisdom with you is so super important.
Yeah, and you because you recognized the individual, you recognized something special within him, reminded him who he is in doing that. So well done.
Yeah, I'm very thankful for Tim. Yeah.
Oh yeah, me too. Well done, Tim. Thank you. We're all learning. We're all learning from you. So we've got one model, and you talked about that. You know, we talked about the value of Tim's curiosity. We talked about the impact that that has. And then there's another little person in your life. Tell us about Tony and Tony's relentless curiosity. I mean, Tony's 10. So I hope that he keeps this relentless curiosity. I mean, what a gift it is.
Yeah, I started noticing when I spent some time at home with my son during the pandemic, just how eager he was to learn and to connect with his classmates and his teacher. No matter what vehicle that took, once he returned to school or once he, you know, during the time he was remote, but just how he was so full of energy just at the prospect of learning something new. And it started to really cause me to question what changes from childhood to adulthood. And here's a little funny story. So Tony's in the fourth grade. If you rewind just a few months back to the start of the school year, he was shaking in the car when I was in the drop-off line to drop him off at school. And he said, "Mom, I'm shaking." And at first I was nervous, like, "Hey, buddy, what's going on? You're shaking. Is everything okay?" And he said, "Yeah, my body shakes when I'm excited," which I loved. And I am very blessed to have a very special child who is very positive and is excited to go to school. And I know not every parent has that luxury. But that experience with him even reinforced, what is it that changes? When you're a kid, you're just so like immensely grateful for every chance that you have to learn something new and to master something new. And I think it's just their ability to being open. They're open to the possibilities of what today holds, what tomorrow holds. They're excited about mastering something new. In school now, they're taught about a growth mindset, Carol Dweck's great work, and they apply that as they're going to push past any barriers toward knowledge or towards mastery. They understand better now than ever that a part of the journey is getting it wrong and picking yourself back up and trying again. And I thought a lot about Tony as we were preparing for today. And it made me think, gosh, there's really some things that just stand in the way of curiosity as we mature into adulthood and beyond. And I would love to share some of those things with your audience, because it really did take some time to think through what are those things that do happen to us as we grow and develop into adults that stand in our way of being energized.
I think it's such an important conversation too, because the more we're aware of those things, the more we can choose to, we can choose differently. We don't have to believe those thoughts or those things that are getting in our way. So yeah, so share, what are some of the things that get in the way of curiosity?
Yeah, and this is probably the one that I'm going to say is the most ugly one, but if we're being very honest with ourselves, something that we have all fallen victim to, whether or not we've done it intentionally, and that is the ego. I think that as we gain experience or education, you know, for example, when I finished my master's degree, it's very easy for us to think that those achievements, those milestones of years of experience, but for another example, that means that we are the most valuable, or that our opinion or expertise, it makes us more important than the views of others. It's really that focus on the me versus the we. And sometimes that's an overcompensation. Sometimes we're presenting with an ego because we're actually unsure of ourselves. But I think sometimes we do either put on an air of confidence or a false air of confidence to overcompensate that really blocks our ability to be relentlessly curious. Have you found that that's the same in your experience as well?
Oh, that so resonates, Celestial. Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking just about times in my life, and it is when I'm trying to prove myself that I block myself from curiosity. I mean, there's when you're trying to prove yourself, like there's no more headspace. It's also, you're right. I mean, in those situations, I feel inferior, but there are also situations where I have felt superior. And in those situations, I also can make assumptions and just not be open to other perspectives because of beliefs I hold. Or so it's recognizing that we all are doing the best we can wherever we are with what we have. And with that comes an openness and a natural curiosity. Yeah, I think that's spot on.
Thank you. I'm glad that's been your experience as well. And it does take a ton of inward reflection, as well as having people surrounding you as a leader that are willing to tell you when you have a blind spot or let you know when you've accidentally carried yourself in the wrong way in a meeting or shut down an idea that somebody else had that was a really good idea. You need to have those peers or your own board of directors to help call you on that, because we do all have blind spots. And most of us are not falling victim to ego intentionally. It just creeps into our lives sometimes, and we need to have people who are willing to share that feedback with us.
Yeah, you got it. And the self-awareness to also recognize within ourselves, like, okay, my ego's rearing its ugly head here. And so I get to choose in that moment what to do with that. I think being intentional about paying attention to what's going on within you is really key.
So important. Yeah, knowing your triggers, knowing how your actual physiology changes if your ego is in the driver's seat, I think is super important. You know, do you get flushed in your face? Do you breathe at a different rate? Are you firing off an email you'll later regret? You know, what are the ways, the stop signs that you need to be looking for to pause and reflect?
You got it. I often call it like this internal prickly heat. Like I get hot and it's like, okay, I can feel that like red, like angry energy inside me. And like, okay, this is not the time to talk. This is the time to be quiet, to just pay attention. What's going on within me? Take a break if I need to call a timeout. Yeah. This is not the time for me to talk. So ego is a big one. I think anyone can relate to that if we're being honest with ourselves. What else gets in the way of curiosity? What are the blockers?
Such a good question. So another thing I found just by being a student of, you know, humans around me and trying to understand how and why does this change, I think a little bit of it is socialized. So the more that you grow in your experience, the more you're expected to know. And the more that you're expected to know right away about whatever part of the business that you're charged with leading. And so that can very naturally create instant responses or a desire to be the first out of the batter's box. And I think that socialization, if we're not careful, can every once in a while lead us into maybe the easiest answers, not the best answers. It can lead us into doing what's comfortable, not what's the best. Or completely by accident, it could send you down a path where you're caring more about being right than getting it right. And I've seen that unfortunately play out in my career and others where they just shift that focus. And it seems like that's a big delta between those two, but it's actually not that big. And you have to be super intentional and catch yourself again, recognizing like, ooh, I'm letting my socialization play into how I'm responding to this question or this business problem or to this situation that we're facing at home, whatever it might be. I'm trusted to have all of the right answers, but I'm really not focused on getting it right. I just want to be right now. And I think that that's really important for us all to think about. Does that resonate with you?
It very much so. And like the conversation around ego, I mean, I think when we're paying attention, we can recognize, okay, what is my motivation here? Again, I appreciate that. Am I trying to be right in this situation and why? Like what's driving that versus a mindset of getting it right?
Building off of that, I feel like as humans, we're so motivated to find that routine and that comfort. So if you're not asking yourself those questions, I totally agree. It's so easy for that to take over.
Well, this is great. So we've talked about the blockers and really, I think, an antidote to some of those natural blockers like ego and wanting to be right is this self-awareness and paying attention. And then, like you said, having people that will help hold us accountable or point out when we're getting in our way. So now that we've talked about the value of curiosity and the impact of it, we've talked about the blockers, let's spend some time talking about some strategies for being relentlessly curious. And I loved what you said earlier about curiosity is an armor. I mean, that's a great visual. Like as a leader, I want to be armed and ready. I know that curiosity is a key leadership skill. So what can I do to keep it top of mind, to like keep the armor of curiosity on?
Yeah, so I was thinking about a couple of strategies, some learned from others and some that I've had to develop on my own along the way. One of those I think I've just had to work on internally is finding the fuel. So understanding what I'm curious about, actively seeking things that stoke that energy in me, and just giving myself the time and the resources to find that fuel. And it sounds counterintuitive to servant leaders. Sometimes we're so focused on everybody else, we forget to show up as inspired leaders. And so everybody is busy. We're not going to get a badge of honor, the busyness badge, to wear around after this podcast today. But the truth is you have to set aside time each day, some white space, some time on your calendar, whether it's during your morning routine or as you're on your way home unpacking your day, finding that connection to what made you curious today? How does that align with your interests and what really drove you to take the role you're in the first place. And I think it's just finding those things actively and with intention that are causing you to generate questions and want to know more, that helps me personally find that fuel.
Yeah, exactly. Because those are naturally going to be the things then that breed curiosity because you want to dive deeper. But what do you do in situations when you just, it's a subject that you aren't passionate about or care about? Or I think about many years ago, I dated a guy who was really into cars. And I don't care about cars. I've never had an interest in cars. And so he would go on and on and on. And I remember just looking at him thinking like, I don't care about this. This is not something I want to talk about. So what do you do in those situations when it's hard to summon curiosity when you don't care about the topic?
Yeah, for me, I go back to the intention that you began today with, and that's connection. So much like you, my husband of 19 years is super into cars, and I have a hard time naturally connecting to his passion for that without appreciating his why. And so sometimes my connection to that comes from just asking him, why are you so interested in this? You know, and he'll tell me a story about fixing a car at a very young age with his stepfather, who's no longer with us, and how that gave him confidence and how he really loves to see how things work and to fix them again. And that gives me, you know, sort of an understanding of where he's coming from. And I've actually been in the garage with him a few times now. I know I lack his talent altogether, but I think it's just learning about what drives other people in those instances or in business. Why is this important to the business and how will this have an impact? If you can ask questions like that, it helps you, I think, connect to finding the fuel, even if it's not something that you're naturally curious about.
Well, that's a great example because you, like being curious about the topic, you're curious about him because you love him. You want to learn more. You want to connect deeper. So yeah, again, it goes back to like finding something you are curious about and asking questions around that. Well, and I know you have another really interesting strategy, question storming. You introduced me to question storming. So tell our listeners, what is question storming as another strategy for curiosity?
I'm so excited to share this. So I recently attended a big HR conference in Indianapolis, and one of my key takeaways was the importance of question storming to keep a team or a group of people out of that groupthink. So to break down any barriers to do with power dynamics, or if you have members of your team that are a little bit more introverted and maybe they have great ideas, but they need to process a little bit first before they come out with those ideas. What we do as an HR team is we do question storming instead of brainstorming. So we might be facing a particular problem or a challenge, and instead of jumping right in with all of the potential solutions to that challenge, we ask each other as many questions as we can possibly come up with about that issue, that challenge, that opportunity. And it is so much fun because it gets us out of judgment of ourselves. So sometimes people don't recommend a solution because that solution might mean that they have to change something that we do today that they're really comfortable with, or that they were instrumental in creating that process or that approach. But if you're asking the right questions, you sort of are able to break down some of those natural human barriers like judgment. And you can be super curious the whole time about what is everything that we need to know about this particular issue or challenge. And I found it's also just super fun to facilitate with a team because the energy in the room is at like an all-time high. Everybody's been through brainstorming sessions. Everybody's been through affinity diagramming. Almost nobody that I've worked with has been through question storming. So it's a fresh approach and it helps them think more creatively and curiously about what we're facing as a team.
Yeah, I mean, what a great way to hone curiosity. And it frees us up. In brainstorming, I often feel like I feel pressure to come up with a really cool idea. And I feel like this question storming, as you've described it, frees me up. I could ask whatever.
Yeah, there's no self-judgment too. How much editing do we do of ourselves in sessions like that before we ever even say anything? And so I think it's so important to just get as many questions out. And to anybody that will use this strategy on your team, I would strongly recommend just make sure that they're ready to fire off as many questions as possible. Don't allow others to jump in and kind of edit those sentiments or provide feedback on those questions right away. It's just about getting as many questions on the table as possible.
So Celestial, thank you so much. Oh my gosh, not only have you reinforced the value of curiosity, but you've also talked about the things that get in the way, and you've given us two really great strategies for honing curiosity in our lives, and we will all be better for it, and so will our relationships. So thank you for that. If our listeners want to connect with you, what's the best way to do that?
I'm out on LinkedIn. I love connecting with professionals on LinkedIn. I found so much fuel learning about others that way, connecting with people out on LinkedIn. So please add me to your LinkedIn networks. I would love to hear more from you following today's conversation.
Thank you for joining us for this episode. Please subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast to never miss a Being at Work story.